Rodney, congratulations on winning today's 26th annual Big Machine Vodka 400 at the Brickyard. while everyone starts to make their way up, why don't you just give us a quick overview of your view of the race and just the excitement after the race, getting a chance to kiss the bricks and all the things that go along winning here at Indianapolis.
Yeah, I mean, the Brickyard 400 is something that means a lot to all of us, and the history that has went on here for so many years. And back when I was still racing go-karts, I would race them Friday night, Saturday night, and I would sit on the couch at home on Sundays and watch these cup races. And I remember when Jeff Gordon won the first one there, and I actually cried because he won. But it's just so crazy to come back here and to win this thing. And since we started with the four team, this has been one that's been circled on our list every year. Obviously, it's a big race. It's something that means a lot to all of us, something that you'll remember for years. And we have been fast every single year. And we've just never been able to put it together. And we've had, little issues here or there or whatever. And today it just felt right. It felt right from the minute I woke up. And, to qualify up front and to have a great race car today. I think y'all saw in the first practice, we weren't very good, and the car was way too loose, and we had to work on it. And it was one of those weekends where everything went right. We never made a bad adjustment in practice, and never made a bad adjustment today. And those are the weekends that sometimes they just happen. And just thankful to be sitting here. Told somebody a minute ago, I got to get a Daytona 500 now, to win a championship before, and a Coke 600 and a Southern 500 and a Brickyard 400. I may just work on speedway cars all winter and try to knock out a Daytona 500. So just really, really thankful.
All right. We'll start to take questions for Rodney if you have one. Excuse me. Please raise your hand, say your name and affiliation. We'll start up here at front.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. Rodney, there's been a lot of talk this year about the Joe Gibbs Racing cars and how many races they won, how dominant they've been. Fact is you won three of the last seven. Now going into the playoffs, do you feel like you're on par with them, and maybe you sent a message today that, you're as good as they are?
Yeah, and I'm still mad about Bristol. That should have been another one. But, I think this season is just tough. I think it's going to be tougher the next 10 races than it's ever been. You've got 550 races that you have to be good at. You got 750 races you got to be good at. You got road course cars you got to be good at. Speedway cars, you got to have a good Martinsville car. There's so many different things in the playoffs this year that's going to be so important to have great race cars every week. And it's really going to come down to those details of bringing the right car every week and making sure that you hit all your details during the weekend and get the most out of everything you got. And some weekends it's not going to be right, and some weekends you're gonna have to fight like we did last week. And but that's what it's all about.
All right, and we've now been joined by our race winner, driver of the number four Mobile One Ford, Kevin Harvick. We'll continue for questions for Kevin or Rodney. And Jordan, I believe you have one more.
Yeah, Kevin, same question for Rodney. A lot of talk about Joe Gibbs Racing this year, how dominant they've been, how many races they've won. You've won three of the last seven, though. You've had a lot of speed the last few weeks. Do you think today sends a message that you're as good as they are and come the playoffs?
Yeah, we just go to so many unique racetracks throughout the summer. I don't know if that's what you said, but, I think we've definitely made some strides in getting where we closer to where we want to be. I think we still have some, some things that we have to work on at certain styles of racetracks. But this is survive in advance, and you don't necessarily have to have the fastest car. We had the fastest car today, maybe not the best handling car, but we survived. Really a day like today is a lot like how you're going to have to approach, every race in the playoffs. And So, you know, we've been to Las Vegas, and it's unbelievable how far things have advanced and changed. And you know, I still feel like we're learning a lot about this particular rules package at certain types of racetracks. And you know, we've been changing things and working on things, and there's a lot of little things that you put together to, you know, to start the playoffs that you put through the manufacturing side and the engine side and, you know, the 100 other things that you put together, and you just have to execute at this point. It's really about the details of how you go through practice and how you start the race and, you know, what you do when things are wrong and what you do when things are right. And it's just covering those details, and it's a one-week-at-a-time grind. I don't think today's, you know, race sends a message, you know, to anybody other than we are doing a good job over the last few months of on the days when we have cars that are capable of winning. We've been, you know, getting good finishes out of them and been to victory lane a few times over the last 3 months. So that's the most important thing is that, you know, I think for us, we have a lot of confidence in each other and the things that we're doing right now. And that, sometimes that's more important than fast cars.
All right, we're going to continue with questions. Go ahead.
Rodney, Steve Conley, the podium finish PRN. As Kevin just kind of mentioned, you guys have been to Las Vegas with this new aero package. It's where you kicked it off. Start the playoffs at that track. How much of a progression have you seen with this car and this package as you get ready to kick off the playoffs?
It's been huge for us. I mean, obviously, we felt like we didn't start out the year with what we needed to. You know, if you go back and rewatch that race, you're like, well, you weren't too far off. You led the whole first stage and had a good car and finished top five. But, you know, you look back on it, if we would have had cars like we had today, you know, at Vegas in the spring, we would have destroyed them. But the whole field has changed that much, and it's going to be a tough race next week. I looked today, it's supposed to be 102 on Saturday and 100 on Sunday. So I'm still not sure if we've got the right car for next week, but, you know, that's part of it. You know, you got to go and see what you got and work hard all weekend and make the right adjustments. And we didn't have the best car when we unloaded here either. So, you know, that's just part of working through it during the weekend and getting the most out of it.
And will you end up taking back the same notebook, or have you just thrown that out, going to basically take new to Vegas?
Everything we did there in the spring is done. It's junk. There's nothing that would really work from what we had there in the spring. So, you know, the biggest thing is the track temp and the temperature and, everything's going to be different. And like I said, the whole field has made such huge gains throughout the year. And just learning how to race, you know, that was the biggest thing at the beginning of the year is we didn't know how these things were going to race and what we needed to be good in a race. And so, you know, as we learned through the first third of the year, it took a while to catch up and to try to make our stuff better. And we'll just have to see how that plays out for next week.
Okay, we'll continue. One quick announcement before we do so. Both the 16 and the 14 cars have cleared inspection, so the 16 drivers that were in the playoffs post-race is official. We'll keep going. Go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Six, yes. Go ahead.
Rob Peters with the Indy Star. This one is more really for Rodney, because I talked to Kevin a little bit before the race, and one of my main questions was, you know, qualifying on day of the race is probably a big challenge for some of you guys, especially when, you know, you can't really touch the cars right after they qualify. And Kevin said before the race to me that this was the first time he'd gone out and in qualifying trim. So my big question is, what are some of the major challenges when you're qualifying on race day in order to set up a car that ended up being so dominant?
Yeah, I mean, I think the whole weekend is part of that. You know, that schedule and that struggle, you know, everything just blows by in a hurry yesterday. You know, you don't have a lot of time between practices. We tried to get through the OSS again and get another sheet on our wheel alignment, and then we were 10 minutes late starting the second practice, and then you finish happy hour, and, you know, within a few, like 2 hours, you got to make all your adjustments of how you're going to qualify and how you're going to race, and you hadn't even thought about qualifying trim because you haven't made a qualifying run in practice. So, you know, we've got a great race team, and everybody just, you know, put their heads together and tried to make the right adjustments for the race. And our guys in the garage did a great job. And And then it turns into today, you know, our car is out on the grid getting ready to qualify, and I'm like, we've got to make race adjustments as soon as we come off the racetrack. And so you're trying to make those adjustments and make sure that you've done the right thing for the race, and it's tough, you know, for sure. But we were able to hit it today and had a great race car.
All right, go ahead.
Kevin, Northview High School. Based on after today's race, and do you think NASCAR went in the right direction with this 2019 package for Indianapolis this year?
You know, I think for us, it, you know, it's just what we race every week now, and you know, I think as you look at the TV ratings and you look at the fans and you know, the increase in pretty much everything that we do, it's got to be something that's in a better direction. So you know, it's just a new norm for us, and we're so far you know, from, you know, whether I think it's right or wrong, you know, at this point, it's just what we race. So, yeah, you know, I don't know that I'm 100% the right person to answer that question, because I'm just in the mode of this is how it is, and this is what we're going to work on, and it's going well right now for us.
All right, we'll continue with questions. We have one over here. Go ahead.
I have a comment and a question. First comment is, having your son up there kind of reminds me of Bill Elliott here being in Victory Lane.
Yeah.
Quite a few years ago. It's great to see.
I was in that race.
Bill flew by the field that year.
Yes, he did.
The question was, with all the focus being on the contention for the last couple playoff spots, how did that help you all, you know, accomplish the win today?
You know, we kind of get in our own little world, and you know, it's really, you know, when things are happening, it's like, you know, I'm not going to deal with anything else. I don't take my phone into the garage. I don't do anything other than focus on what he needs, what the car's doing, try to be there to be, you know, giving information and giving things that you know, I'm feeling in the car, because I'm, you know, you have to be a part of the process. Because it is a process, and it, like he said, it happens fast this weekend. And in order to be part of the process, you have to be engaged in it. And you know, I feel like that's one thing for us that works well is, you know, when he has a question, or I have a question, or Dax has, or somebody has a question, you don't have to walk far, or you don't have to go far to find, you know, an opinion to help you come up with that answer. And I feel like that's one of the things that we've done better over the last few months than the majority of people is just get those little details and have developed a system for us that's been working, from, you know, what we do in race trim to what we do in qualifying trim and how we get through practice. I could have no clue where we were in practice. I did not look at the scoreboard one time. They would tell me, you know, everything looks fine, so there's no reason to get out of the car and look at the scoreboard and it's all about, you know, working on the car to make sure it feels right. I've been to these places and, you know, who knows how many rules packages and different types of cars. I know how I want it to feel. I know how it should feel compared to, you know, the things we've done at Pocono and Michigan and all the different racetracks that we've gone to. You know, and have developed a feeling for the car with this particular rules package. And you know, you're just trying to get to that as you go through practice and in this rapid pace. And I feel like that's what we're doing well right now is everybody's engaged and communicating well. And you know, the cars are coming out of the shop faster. And it's been a great progression for us at Stewart Haas Racing over the summer.
All right, Holly.
This is for Kevin. I know the preference would probably be to win often and win early, but getting the wins that you have just prior to the playoffs starting, is there something to be said for that as well, with having the momentum here versus maybe getting a whole bunch of wins early in the season and then kind of?
Yeah, you know, I think as you look at winning in general, it's always good. No matter when it happens, you know, I think as you go through this stretch of races, I know how much he's wanted to win this race, you know, since we started at Stewart Haas Racing. So that makes me smile, you know, when we can get to Victory Lane here, and it's obviously special to me. But, you know, I definitely think that there's something to be said for that. We won last year at Loudoun, and then we didn't, I don't think we won again until Texas, right? Yeah. So, you know, it's we won all those races at the beginning of the year and you know, kind of fell flat from the victory lane there in the middle of the year and then came back and ran well and contended and did all the things that we needed to do. We just didn't win those races like we did in the middle of the, in the beginning of the year and in the middle and the end of the year. So, you know, but this is a constant progression. And last year we got off and had the, you know, we had the best cars from a downforce standpoint, and we're able to capitalize on that with eight wins last year and the All-Star race. And so, you know, it's, you know, this year has just gone a little bit different. They never go the same. But, you know, winning this close to the playoffs, you know, on really different styles of racetracks is definitely a good thing. Definitely would rather have the wins than not, that's for sure, and it's good timing.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, Roy Akers, Midwest Sports Scene. Beginning of the race and also the end, you had dominant stretches. He had a 4 or 5 second lead, but the stretch, I think it was Blaney, when he had the lead, you took that short pit, and then you had the caution. Was there a reason why you went into the pits there? Because it seemed like you never looked back after that.
Yeah, that was just they called me into pit. That was our scheduled time, and luckily the caution came out, and it worked out perfect for us, and we got back control of the race, and that's really. From there, once we got to control the race back, it was really about the restarts and maintaining the lead and not making any mistakes at that point. So we've been on the flip side of that too. I can't remember, you know, a couple of years ago the caution came out and we hadn't pitted yet, and so you kind of go with those cycles, and it's been 16 years in between race wins for me personally here. So you can see that we've gone through a few of those cycles, and we've been through a few of those cycles with cars that have been capable to win pretty much every year that we've been here and hadn't been to victory lane. So today we had a fast car and had the right circumstances, and it finally went our way.
All right, real quick as we continue to take questions, are there any final questions for Rodney? All right, Rodney, your excuse.
Thank you.
Good job.
All right, we'll continue with Bob.
Bob Pockris, Fox Sports. I don't know if you ever saw what happened to Brad Keselowski, but he crashed into a tire barrier there, and his car kind of got hung up on it. Felt like there's that they need to work with the tracks. On your thoughts?
I haven't seen it, so I apologize. I don't really have. I just hadn't seen it, so I don't want to comment on something I hadn't seen. Sorry.
All right, Abe.
Dave Coleman, Indy Star. Kevin, can you amplify a little bit on your love for this place and the meaning it has to you? And also, this race got really choppy at times. Was that a concern at all?
Well, anytime you have restarts, it's a concern because you just never know. You don't want to lose control of the race. And for us, you know, I felt like our car was really fast, but it probably wasn't the best handling car in traffic. So we didn't need to lose control of the race. We needed to keep control of the race and try to do everything we can on those restarts to make everything right. So luckily that all worked out. But you know, as far as Indianapolis Motor Speedway itself, and you know, for me, there's not many people that get to say that they actually lived out their childhood dream. I didn't win the Indy 500, but I came about as close to it as you probably can. And you know, so winning here and just making laps here and driving here is special. And I think, you know, for me, growing up in Bakersfield, a Rick Mears fan and racing around Clint, his son in go-karts and seeing Rick and Roger and that whole Mears gang, at the racetrack. I mean, that was part of my childhood and to, you know, to see the success that he had here and know the racing heritage that the Mears family has in this particular racetrack and the history that they have here is something for me that's pretty special, just because of the fact that, you know, those are people that I grew up around. They came from the same town that I come from in Bakersfield, and it's just you know, it's something that you know, you don't really realize when you're a young kid that is most likely not going to happen. But I'm lucky and you know, I've been able to live that out, and win a couple races here, and it's been fun.
All right, Jim.
Jim Utter, motorsport.com. One question for Kevin and one for Keelan, if he'll answer. For Kevin, you talked earlier about how much has changed, and Rodney has too, about just on the pack, how you guys have adjusted since the first race in Las Vegas, and I'm sure that can be said for many of the other teams as well. Does that make the playoffs coming up somewhat more unpredictable than they have been in the past, or do you think it'll be more tried and true of, you know, the people who typically have the best race-winning speed will shine?
Yeah, I still think there's some unpredictability that goes with that. I think it's probably less than there was at the beginning of the year. I think it's less, probably a little bit less than this part of the schedule because of the unique racetracks that we go to during this time of year. So, you know, it's and the other wild card in the whole thing is you don't know how much everybody else thinks they're going to get better and if your stuff is actually going to be better. Or is it going to be, you know, the same or worse? Or did you guess in the right direction? So there's a lot of, and he would be offended. They don't guess. He gets offended when I call it guessing. theories. I don't know, but I call it guessing. As to where you need to be and what's right and what's wrong, and as you put all those little parts and pieces together, and you put them on the race car, and you load it up, and you go to Las Vegas, and you go around the racetrack, and you hope that it's faster. You hope that it handles better, and you hope that it has more speed. So, you know, you never really know until you see what everybody else had laying in the bank as what they think was right or wrong as well.
And for Keelan, I wanted to confirm something. What do bricks taste like?
They don't taste great, but it was fun kissing the bricks.
All right, we'll continue with questions. Okay, go ahead.
Zach Tanzaretti, kickingthetires.net. Indeed, a lot has changed since 2003, and one of the bigger ones is that you got to celebrate it this time with your kids, both Piper and Keelan. How that really add to the celebration for you compared to the first time? And it looked like Keelan enjoyed it more than most kids do.
Yeah. Well, he asked me every year if he can kiss the bricks, and I tell him that, well, we have to win the race to kiss the bricks. We can't just go out there and kiss them. Otherwise, it kind of loses its luster. It was great motivation for me at the end because, you know, I kept telling myself, don't lose this race. You're in control of this race. You got to get baby girl a picture in victory lane. So, Keelan, he's been lucky. You're wearing that microphone out, kid. He's been lucky. He's been able to take a whole bunch of pictures and be around a lot, and that's really good for me too. And, you know, it's fun being able to have them at the racetrack, and it kind of keeps everything real. It's like yesterday, you know, we got done with practice, and it was, you know, chasing Piper around on the scooter and trying to make sure Keelan didn't run over Brexton. And we had an accident in the motorhome lot, didn't we? Yeah, Brexton had a wreck. And then Kyle came back from winning the race, and he's standing out there in his driver's suit, and you know, I don't know if anybody even asked him, you know, or told him congratulations. It was just like, hey, you know, welcome to the party here. But it kind of takes your mind off of everything, and you can go and just be normal. I love what I do, but I also like being normal is more fun. And being able to share these moments with them is way better than the race win itself, because it's just, you know, it's not something that most people get to do. I get to take them to work, and we've been fortunate to be successful at it, and you know, so it's definitely one of those situations that you kind of have to look at and smile because they actually pay me to do it.
All right. Jacob, do you have the mic? Go ahead.
Jacob Seelman, Speed Sport. Kevin, two for you. First, you talked about Rick earlier and him being your childhood hero growing up. So, you know, growing up in California, I'm curious on that front, was stock cars always the path you envisioned yourself going on, or was there a thought of maybe, you know, going your hero's route and going IndyCar racing?
Well, when I was young, it was I wanted to race IndyCars, you know, because at that point IndyCars were more popular than stock cars. You know, it took a drastic turn over the next 10, 12 years. But that particular point, you know, if you wanted to race at the top level, you wanted to race Indy cars. You didn't want to race stock cars. And then all that changed. And, you know, for me, I had a dad who, I could have went and raised midgets at 13, 14, 15 years old, whatever, at that particular point, who wanted nothing to do with open wheel racing and liked stock cars. And, you know, he worked on cars on the side, and he was a firefighter and worked on the cars on the side and went to the racetrack on the weekend, and that's what I did. I went to, you know, the local short track and watched the stock cars race, and when I turned 16, that's what we did. And that was just the path, and there was really no choice. I didn't really have a say in that, and we raced go-karts and then went straight to late model stock cars, and then from there it was just a progression of getting an opportunity to go to the next level, and I went all the way through the whole ranks of the NASCAR system at that particular time, all the way to the top. So it was really not my choice, but it worked out pretty good.
Well, you talk about Rick being your childhood hero. I'd argue there's a hero that you drive for, at least for these fans. Talk about what it means to win a Brickyard 400 for Tony, and what it means, you know, after watching him, you know, and being in a couple of his Brickyard 400 wins, to deliver him one as a car.
Yeah, well, you know, I think obviously I know how much this place means to Tony, and you can just see it in the way that he walks around here. I mean, it's not, he's got a little more pep in his step when he walks around here than he does anywhere else. And he walked up to the car. He said, "You know, yep, you've done a good job so far this weekend. Congrats on the pole. Now go out there and I want you to destroy him today. I want you to destroy him. And after you're done, we're going to climb the fence." So I reminded him after the race that he said we were going to climb the fence. And I just wanted to see him climb the fence. So that was his tradition. So that was kind of fun to be able to hopefully, him relive some memories. And I'm sure it was exciting for him, but there's still nothing like driving the car and being able to enjoy those moments from the driver's standpoint. But it was a lot of fun, because I know how much it means to him, and those are the two things that he told me to do. So that's what we did today, and I'm glad it worked out, because he was happy and celebrating out there.
All right, we'll take one final question from Steve.
Steve Schweitzer, the Alaska Press. Kevin, you talked about getting the car the way that it feels good to you. Now that you guys have had the whole regular season to work with this new package, is it easier to tune in now, or is it more difficult than
I think it's
maybe
more,
some models in the past?
Yeah, I think it's more difficult, just because there's such an arrow balance. There's so many arrow decisions that you have to make from a balance standpoint, and a lot of those happen in the shop. So you not only do you have to think differently than anything that I've ever driven before, you have to be willing to change and be open minded to new things, because it's just so drastically different, and you have so many different buttons to push to make things. Make the car do different things. So there's a lot more to the conversation than what they're used to. And one thing about being around this sport, you have to be open-minded to change, because it changes rapidly. And whether it's something that happens in your shop or your career, or if it's something that happens with the rules change and power taken out or more downforce added to the car, Gen 7 cars, Gen 6 cars, 5 cars, whatever the case is, you have to be open-minded to keep up with the change in order to survive and keep moving forward. So I think we've done a good job at that. And first part of the year, we were kind of stuck in what we did last year. And then at some point during the beginning part of the year, we realized that everything that we did last year was irrelevant, and we needed to approach things a little bit differently. And it's paid off for us over the summer.